Blog Talk Radio.
This is Voice of Yahweh Radio Ministries with another exciting message from Evangelist Barbara Lynch.
I'm going to teach on something tonight that God really laid on my heart because we are in a new dispensation.
I'm giving this to reiterate what is really going on in the body of Christ and what you have to look forward to, all right? And I want you to be prepared for what's coming your way. They say when God tells you, when you know something, you're supposed to share it, not keep it to yourself. And I don't like to admit that it took me 30 years to realize what God was doing with me. So I want you to realize what God is doing with you right now in this dispensation of time. When I first came on the scene, I know you heard this before, but I really want to show you this again tonight. People were coming, ministers were coming against me, and prophets were coming against me. And so I'm home one day and I said, God, what is going on here? And he gave me this scripture. I really want you to listen closely to what I'm going to teach you tonight because it's something you really have to get in your spirit now and not when you're in whole. You have that in your spirit right now.
As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind?
If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. So God gave me that. He said, you are a prophet that I'm sending to the house. And they aren't going to want to hear what you have to say. And so when you're through here tonight, when we're through here tonight, you're going to find out that when you're all finished ministering, they're at least, if they don't believe the word you're preaching, they're going to at least know that a prophet was in their midst. All right, so that's what I'm trying to get at. All right, I titled this, I didn't pray yet, did I? Father God, I thank you and I praise you, and I'm sorry I got excited and got ahead of myself, but I just want to thank you that you're in our midst and your holy angels are ministering to your people, and whatever they came to get, Father God, you're giving it to them right now. And by the time they leave her, Father God, they're going to have more information down inside their spirit than they've ever had, more revelation. And Father God, it's going to take them through the trying times that they are headed into. And Father, I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So I titled this, What Does It Take to Be a Minister of the Gospel? I don't know if you read the word a couple of days ago, but God spoke about that, didn't he? So what do you want to be? An evangelist, a minister, a teacher, an apostle, a prophet? What is it you're wanting to be? Oh, yeah, use me, Lord, use me. All right, think about this. Thinking about preaching while reading the prophets is a sobering thing. And that's why I'm teaching this, because I was reading about the prophets. I said, oh. So I knew that I hadn't taught you this, and this is why I'm teaching this to you. All right, in Isaiah 6:8, God commissions Isaiah to preach to a deaf and blind people. Isaiah 6:8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand, keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Now look at what you're reading. This is what God told him. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away. By the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it and will return and be for consuming as a terebinth tree or as an oak whose stump remains when it is cut down, so the holy seed shall be its stump. All right, there you go. He's telling Isaiah, go and preach whatever I tell you to preach, but it's not going to do a lick of good. because the people weren't going to receive it. Now, I want to stop there, and please don't read on. The other night, if you're commissioned to go with the gospel, you should have the gift of prophecy within inside of you. The other night, I prophesied to a lot of people in here. Well, one person got disgruntled, left, and is out running me down and praying against me. Now, the Word of God said, you've hurt people in the past, but you're not going to do it anymore. So what is this person doing right now? Hurting me in this ministry. So was God's Word true? Yes. Because if it wasn't true, this wouldn't be going on. Now, when I was in my early stages of ministry, I was the prophet of this season. And I was going to, everybody had me booked in their churches all the time. And I went over to one church one night, and there was a prophet from Florida there. And she signaled me out and said, and I think they turned the microphones up real loud so the whole town could hear, I'm going to cut down your tree because you are bearing bad fruit. But I'm going to rebuild your tree, and then you will bear good fruit, fruit that others can eat. Well, see, I was still naive and dumb. And I thought, well, I know that's in the Word. And I just took the Word. And when I left, everybody was hugging me. Oh, we'll be praying for you, Pastor Barbara. We really will. And we love you. And don't ever forget, we love you here. They knew what God was saying. He was going to stop my ministry for a season. But then whenever, whatever. But you know what? That took 12 years for that to ever come to pass. I didn't get disgruntled is what I'm trying to tell you. I kept right on going out and ministering God's Word and just doing whatever God told me to do. And then I knew, because God said to me, he said, now you're going from the blessing to the curse. And I had to go there so God could teach me something, and that's why it happened. And when that happened, I didn't even like my own self. All right? But God still had me preach. When I preached, the anointing was still there, and you could never tell I was going through anything. But believe me, I knew I was going through something when I was standing behind the pulpit. But I didn't fuss with God. I didn't fuss with the people. I just took my licks and went on. So I'm saying that to say this. When you're out there ministering, somebody might say something to you that's really going to cut you wrong. But if you know that's a true prophet, then receive it, because somewhere down the line, that thing is going to come to pass. In fact, I forgot the Word was even given to me, to tell you the truth. And then one day, whenever God said, you're going from the blessing to the curse, and I remembered the prophecy. And then I said, okay, this is what God was telling me. Now he's going to cut my tree down. And then he's going to revamp me, you know, reproduce me into what he really wanted me to be at that given time. So whenever God's ready to cut your tree down, he's going to cut it down whether you like it or not. Now, I want you to get this in your spirits. One day I was praying and God said, you don't need any enemies outside the church. You have enough right inside the church coming against you every day. Last night, God told me as I was doing this, he said, there's a person inside the church, Lighthouse Church, right now, that the enemy's going to work on and try to turn that person against you. And if they yield to this, they will cause a split in the church. And when they leave, they'll talk, say very negative things about me. None of them are true. But because they allowed the enemy to come in with this voice of his to separate and divide, they're going to believe they're telling the truth. So I've been praying against that. Whenever you're ministering for the Word for God, there's always somebody that the enemy can use to come against you and to cause separation and division. You cannot look at that. You have to keep your eyes upon God and do everything that God is telling you to do at all times. Now, Sister Nancy and Brother Christopher Gore know me really well, and they know what I go through every day. Right now with my body, you know, God says I'm healed, and I have to walk it out. But also know it's witchcraft and voodoo because of the different things that are happening to my body. Like I can be sitting somewhere, and all of a sudden I'll have excruciating pain, let's say in my stomach. It doubles me clear over. It might last a half hour, might last 15 minutes. And just like that, it's gone. Now, that's not natural. And I got awake last night. My foot was so cramped, it was twisted, and it lasted a half hour. And I was praying constantly, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. I was rebuking the devil. And finally, my foot straightened out, and all pain left. That's not natural. That's demonic. So right now I'm under a lot of attack. I'm telling you because you're going to go through this. I'm under a lot of attack because God's getting ready to use a lighthouse to bring revival in this area, and the enemy's trying to stop me before it ever happens. All right? And I've had the audacity to tell you people you need to get delivered and be set free. Now, we have a deliverance ministry. It's a very, very good deliverance ministry. Some people come quite often, get delivered, but they don't hold on to it. Why? Because they really like what they have. And some of them don't get rid of it until they know it's going to kill them. If they don't, then they'll finally give it up. It's nothing against the deliverance team. They're anointed. They pray. They fast. They seek God's face. They call me, and I seek God's fast, and we get together, and we tell whatever God's telling us that's in there, that's what they pray against, and that is really in there. So it's not we're not a fluke. We're not a fly-by-night deliverance. We've had deliverance since the first day the door opened. All right? So don't let people say, well, it doesn't work. Yes, it does. But you are the one that is not letting it work. All right, let's go back to this. Jeremiah, now we're talking about Jeremiah. That was Isaiah. Now let's talk about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was commissioned to go preach without fear to those who threaten his life and reject his message. You see that? That's who God is going to send you to. Because when I first started, God sent me to churches. There was always packed up with pastors, and God was telling them about their sins and trying to get them straightened up, but they did not. In fact, pastors that had me there to do revivals for 30 days talked about me, said, don't believe a word she said because she wasn't in of God. Why? Because I touched on their sin, but they didn't want to change, so therefore then they had to come against me to make me look bad. Are you understanding this? See, you have to know that you know that you know that God has called you. Then you have to be living a holy and righteous life, and you just have to walk it out no matter what's coming your way. All right? So anyhow, let's go back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was commissioned to go preach without fear to those who threaten his life and reject his message. In Jeremiah chapter 1, starting at verse 10, says, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. See, some of us, before we was ever born, we already had our assignment. All right? And verse 6 says, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. What did he say? Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. This is why I tell you, do not prophesy over somebody that you know intimately, because only God's word should come out of your lips. And I'm sorry, but you'll get a mixture, and you're going to put in there some of the things that you know. So I tell anybody you prophesy in this church, do not ever prophesy over anybody that you know. That's why I don't really talk to people. I don't want to know your junk. I don't want to know your hurts and your pains, because God will tell me what you're going through, and then when I prophesy to you, you'll say, well, I know that was God, because you haven't told it to me. Nobody else is, because I don't listen to other people either. You have to quit wanting to know what everybody is about. The only thing you need to know is what God is about and what you're about. All right? Or you'll never be a true prophet. Because there will always be a mixture. Verse 14, then the Lord said to me, out of the north, disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. See, God will tell you, if you're a true prophet, he will tell you what's going to go on in the world too. Verse 15, for behold, I am calling all the tribes of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord, and they shall come, and everyone shall set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem against all its walls all around and against all the cities of Judah. And I will declare my judgments against them for all their evil in forsaking me. See what he says? They're going to come, and God says, I will declare my judgments against them for all their evil in forsaking me. They have made offerings to other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands. Verse 17, but you, talking about Jeremiah, dress yourself for work, Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. Jeremiah couldn't mix what God had to say. He had to say exactly what God told him to say. Verse 18 says, Behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. Now see what he's doing with Jeremiah? He is raising up Jeremiah where nobody can tear him down. You see this? What did he say? I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. Verse 19, God goes on to say, they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. What is God? He's with him to deliver him while he's giving a bad message. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah's message, his call was to repentance and judgment. Jeremiah's entire life was about preaching repentance. Did that ever make me feel good when I read that? I've been preaching repentance for 40 years. Now let's just go on and see what happens as Jeremiah preaches repentance. Can you imagine how much weight that would put on Jeremiah's shoulders? So I've read Jeremiah, I don't know how many times, but it wasn't until the other night when God told me to read it that I fully realized what Jeremiah was saying. Are you understanding this? I don't care how, well, I read the Bible 6 times. I don't care how many times you read it. It'll come a day when God will say, read this. And when you do, he brings the revelation knowledge that he wants you to know from that scripture. All right, from that moment on to the rest of his life, Jeremiah would preach over and over for the people of Judah to repent. Jeremiah understands that God does not want this outward conformity to religion that many people were doing under King Joaz. Jeremiah understood God. A lot of ministers don't even understand what God's trying to do. They're just out there just ministering. They don't understand what God is trying to do. And we know right now God has been preaching repentance. We know that God said he has left the church. And now he's going out into the highways and the byways because the church have rejected him. He's now rejected them. And we're going to see that in here. All right, God wanted true repentance and obedience. Just repenting doesn't work. You have to become obedient. God wanted a real and personal relationship with the people of Israel. This is one of the most painful things about the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is known as a weeping prophet as he weeps and wails for his people. But we also get to see more of the heart of God and how much his people hurt him. Do you know if you're a true pastor, you'll go home and you'll cry over your people. Because, see, if you're really a prophet of God and you're preaching the word, you look out over the peoples, you can see who's really going to change and who isn't. You can see who really is holding grudges and who isn't holding grudges. And you can see who's putting on a face and who is real. And if you can't see that, then you need to step down and you need to get with the Father until you can see as he sees. All right. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, I remember the devotion of your youth. See, God remembers your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness in a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who ate of it incurred guilt. Disaster came upon them, declares the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the clans of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your fathers find in me that they went far from me and went after worthlessness and became worthless? Do you see that? He said, what wrong did your fathers find in me that they went far from me and went after worthlessness and became worthless? Do you see that? God is asking, I was always so good and faithful to you, Israel. Why do you keep hating me? Isn't that what's happening today? If you don't know, I'm going to tell you that is what's happening today. This church is filled up. You know, we had revival for years and years. It was always filled. And then whenever God started taking the Holy Spirit away, because they're not just our church, but all churches were coming against the Holy Spirit and walking all over the Holy Spirit anointing, he just said, I'm just going to remove my Holy Spirit for a season and let them see what it's like. All right. God has been trying to get the body of Christ to serve him with all their heart. But I've stood up here and preached, and I've even said to God, God, I don't know what else to preach. Because the word's not making it. They're just not changing. And this is what Jeremiah goes through. You know, the word just is not changing. It's going to take more than the word, God. And God said, they've hardened their hearts against me. And nothing is going to get through to them. Saints, that's a very dangerous place to be in, where you harden your heart so bad that nothing that God sends your way will ever phase you. You'll just keep right on sinning. And I see that in the body of Christ, every place I've ever been, every state I've ever been in, the body of Christ has hardened their heart. I even went to a place in Pennsylvania where they've had me there quite often. And when I went this time, the wife said, God told me to have you come in. And God had told me, I've told them to call you in and I want you to go, but the pastor's going to come against you. But I still want you to go. So I went there. And he rebuked me right in front of the whole bunch of people that were there that came to listen to me. And I just sat there and let him say what he wanted to say. And finally he said, come on up. Come on up, minister to him. And God moved in a fantastic way. Then afterwards I said, why did you do that? You're so anointed. What is it about me that made you do that to me? He said, people like you more than they do me. I said, what difference? They don't like me more. They like Jesus. I said, if that's what's bothering you, get more of Jesus in you, because he did need more of Jesus. I said, then you won't have to go through this, but he won't talk to me no more. But see, this is how people are. That's the body of Christ. I said, you know me. You've had me up here so many times, and you've been wherever I've been, and you know how God moves. You know the miracles God has done for the people up here, but yet you tell me that you stood up here and you belittled me. Why did you do that? I see, God was using me to get his attention. And I told him I loved him as I left. And he said, we're not taking you out to eat. You just go and find someplace else to eat. And I said, I didn't want to go eat anyhow. I really didn't. But you see how the body of Christ is? And these are ministers. So do you still want to preach the word? Because this is the kind of thing that you're going to do. You know, and I was evangelist for quite some time. I'd evangelize, and God pulled me in off the road. He said, I'm bringing you in off the road now, because now they're getting ready to persecute you. And if I let you out on the road, they will destroy you. So I have to bring you in. See how God loves us. He knew that they were really going to start coming again, so he just brought me in. He said, I'm just going to let you rest a while, and he just let me minister here. That's just how good God is. So if God says to you, come on, I'm going to pull you in off the road, let him pull you in off the road, because he knows what's going to happen to you out there. See, I don't have to minister. I just love God, and I just know he's real. And you know, I don't mind sitting. I really don't. I don't have to get in front of a bunch of people and try to show you how wonderful I am, because I'm not. It's God in me that's wonderful. Amen. Anybody that knows me on a personal level, you know I can't hardly hold a decent conversation. But when I'm under the anointing, I'm not saying I'm dumb. I'm really not. I've been to college and everything. But what I'm saying is God has always had me in a silent mode, where he didn't want me sitting, you know, talking all the time. He wanted me to be quiet so I could hear his still, small voice. Do you understand what I'm saying here? But under the anointing, God takes over, and he does what he wants to do, because I give him full permission. All right, where am I at? All right, so God is asking, I was always so good and faithful to you, Israel. Why do you keep hating me? That's real today. Isn't that how our hearts are with God? And I'm talking about the body of Christ. God gives us himself, but we choose to hate him and leave him because of all sorts of temporary and unimportant reasons. Wow, I didn't like the way Pastor Barbara didn't look at me, so I'm just going to leave the church. I mean, that's dumb. You know, sometimes I deliberately don't say things to people because God's already told me they have a spirit of wanting attention, and I won't feed any spirit. So I will deliberately just walk by people, and it's not that I don't love you. You just have a spirit that I'm not going to feed. I don't want it to grow. I want it to die in the vine. Amen. And just learn it. Doesn't matter if anybody notices you or not. You're still God's child, are you not? Does people recognize you, make you God's child? Absolutely not. You're God's child if nobody talks to you. All right? All right, so I said, God gives us himself, but we choose to hate him and leave him because of all sorts of temporary and unimportant reasons. And this is a part of Jeremiah's message. God wants us to repent, and God wants us to be in relationship with him. He's been telling us that for years. As you read Jeremiah, you see that Jeremiah has a huge understanding of God. See, you need to understand God. You need to know his heart. He understands that God is a God of history, the God above the world, the sovereign one, and also the faithful one, the fountain of living water, the eternal lover of his people. That's who he is. And you see in Jeremiah's message, the call to repentance and judgment and the call to hope in relationship. If you're going to preach God's word, you need to learn how to do it without getting killed. Let's read that again. If you're going to preach God's word, you need to learn how to do it without getting killed. And sometimes that's a chore. You know, I know the people sometimes come just to hear me. And God will give me some great revelation knowledge, and I'll call somebody and say, you know, this is what God showed me. Can you get a message together for that? See, if I was into me, I would get that message together because I say, wow, look what she knows. But I don't do that. I give it to somebody else. Did you give it? Are you understanding what I'm saying here? I don't have to be the center of attention. Jesus does. But I tell everybody, gets up, or you better, if you're not living it, then don't give it. And you better do it in the spirit, because I don't want to see any flesh come out of you. If I do, I will tell you about it. Are you listening? Come on. In a vision, all right, let's look at Ezekiel's assignment and our assignment. In a vision in Ezekiel chapter 2 and 3, Ezekiel receives his commission to preach to the wicked, rebellious house of Israel. Everybody's preaching to the church. The basic call was to persevere in preaching. The word of the Lord, preaching the word of the Lord no matter what, because through him God would make them know that a prophet has been among them. Guys, if you're going to preach, I don't care if you're an evangelist, I don't care if you're a teacher, I don't care what you are, you're going to have to persevere. Because the devil's going to use people to try to destroy you. And this is what he was telling Ezekiel. Ezekiel 2:5 says, as for them, this is God speaking, as to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. In other words, guys, just go. Just go and give what God has you to give. And then, well, like God told me, he said, daughter, you're trying to get him saved. That is not what I commission you to do. All you need to do is give them the word and then walk away. Let them do what they want to with the word. So I'm telling you tonight, you can't get them saved. God gives you a word to give them the word, and leave it alone. If they come and ask you, what did God mean? And my comeback is, go ask God. If people come and argue about what you spoke about, you take it up with God. You ask God, because he's the one who said it, and I didn't. I never, even a prophetic word, I've told people, throw your word in the trash. Because if you're going to argue over it, it's not doing you any good. Just throw it in the trash if you don't believe that God spoke through you through me. All right? That's what you need to do. Don't try to justify what God spoke through you. Excuse me. Because you can't. If it's really God speaking, you cannot justify it no matter what he says. Because God knows you inside out. I might know your little smiley face, but I don't know what's behind that mask. God told me that one time. That's why I say that. And you can come put on the best face you have and be just gushy, gushy, sweet, sweet, and inside you're a mess. All right?
What does it take to be a minister of the gospel? This has been the Voice of Yahweh Radio Ministries. God bless.